works for the television network that gives us the best Champions League football coverage here in the UK. So I'm delighted to say that joining me today on World Football Daily is, for the second day in a row, another Sheffield Wednesday fan. It is, from Sky Sports News' very own, Mr. David Garrido, joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things English teams in the Champions League. David, an absolute pleasure to have you on board. A pleasure to have a second Sheffield Wednesday fan in 2 days as well, mate, on the show. How are you doing today?
Ollie, I'm very, very, very good. I think we should try and keep this theme going as long as we possibly can. I mean, who else can we crowbar in here? Michael Vaughan, is there something that we can kind of get him in? Or, I don't know, even Roy Hattersley? I mean, look, I'm prepared to go as desperate as we can, but let's just keep this Wednesday theme going because, well, how long will it last? Probably about another 3 days and then we'd be done.
Well,
but,
I'm thinking Paolo still needs some work from somewhere. We could throw him a few quid and,
get
him on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, and he's not short of an opinion, is he? So, yeah, exactly. You can just wind him up and let him go and that'll be the podcast done. So
give
brilliant.
Him, give him 5-10 minutes, but I wouldn't want to co-host anything with him, that's for sure. It'd be, you'd be on edge for quite a lot of it. David, it's a pleasure to have you on today, mate. Absolute pleasure to have you on. We will break into the Champions League action from the last couple of days. Are you buying into Arsenal owner, if you will, as they've been dubbed? Arsenal with this cracking run of form since the loss to Villa on the opening day of the season and trouncing Napoli. Will it last, though? Considering that everybody said that Ozil's arrival was fantastic, but they still haven't paved over the cracks in elsewhere in that squad.
I do worry. If you look historically at Arsenal, they've always thought, and I think that the viewpoint's always been they've got a squad and a style of play that suits European football more. How many European titles have they won in that time? None. Got close in 2006, got beaten by Barcelona in Paris. But, you know, you do feel that, yes, Ozil is an absolutely fantastic player. He will take, you know, their attacking play to the next level. But did they desperately need a player like that? No, I don't think they did. They needed a centre-forward, they needed a defensive midfielder, they needed a centre-back, but they haven't found any of those. And I think if Arsenal are going to make this count now, get through the group, they've started well, 6 points from 6, so over halfway there, if you say 10 points is your benchmark. And then in January, I think this is where, you know, we need to see a little bit of shoring up. They've already had injuries, they've already had the warning signs. Cazorla is, for me, an absolutely key player, and he's out at the moment. And, of course, Walcott having that, you know, operation on his abdomen. So they do need to strengthen in January. And I know that no Premier League manager is keen on that, but this time around, if they want to do it in the Champions League and make all this potential count for something, I think Wenger is going to have to dip again. And we know that the funds are there.
What about the signing of Flamini? You know, many people said, oh, great, it's an ex-Arsenal player coming back, rejected from Serie A. And there wasn't too much made about bringing in Flamini in. But his role in this Arsenal side has been quite pivotal already.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he is a player for that particular role. And I think, you know, in the absence of a real, you know, midfield marshal, he can give that back four a little bit of steel and cover. I think, you know, he's the man who can, you know, at least just shore up a little bit at the moment. I would wonder whether Mikel Arteta is ever going to be able to get back into the Arsenal side if as you say, Flamini is playing like he is. Okay, you know, rejected by Serie A. Well, at least he moved to AC Milan. He was drawn by, you know, the luster and you know, the prestige of playing in Italy's top division. But, you know, I don't think there's any real shame in, you know, in going for that. If it doesn't work out, well, so be it. Come back to somewhere you loved, you know, and we've seen Jose Mourinho do that. We've seen players do that before. It hasn't worked out, but I think time it will, and Arsenal need him more than is actually apparent at the moment, because he does provide that just little bit of a shield for that back four.
Do you think Napoli made or helped Arsenal look fantastic, or did Arsenal demolish Napoli the other night? What was it?
Bit of both. And Napoli had a bit of an off day, very much like Dortmund did against Napoli on match day one, when they lost it in the south of Italy. I think, you know, remember that they're doing well in Serie A. They've got a new manager in Rafa Benitez. And, you know, they're going to have the odd off day. Arsenal, luckily, had their first day of the season against Villa at home and have managed to recover. You know, and Napoli, apart from, you know, perhaps a slightly odd draw against Sassuolo in the Serie A, they've been doing absolutely fine. So nothing to be too unduly concerned about. Remember that Benitez is organised and he will make sure that sort of, you know, performance doesn't happen again.
Now, obviously, we had Chelsea getting a comfortable win against Steaua Bucharest on Tuesday night as well. But for Chelsea in general, do you think this win was important, David, just to help settle the ship? There's so much talk flying around the top six in general in the Premier League, but it's nice to see at least Chelsea getting comfortable again after the loss against Basel in the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely. They needed to recover after losing on match day one. First time that that's happened to Jose Mourinho in his career as a coach. 4-0, so resounding clean sheet as well. And yeah, I think, you know, very, very important. We know how much he's achieved in the Champions League at his still tender age for a coach, remember. So yeah, this is very important to him. He wants to do it with Chelsea. He wants to do it with a third different club. After Porto and Inter, of course. So, you know, if he's going to do that, he absolutely needed that response. Okay, so they know about Steaua. They beat them over two legs last season in the Europa League. So they were all prepped anyway. And this time around, you know, they produced the performance that truly their sort of squad superiority would merit. So, yes, I think that was important to just settle things down. And now, you know, they can just really, you know, get one more, you know, results, you know, out of the way. They've got a little, yeah, see, you know, as I say, an international break will help things settle down as well. Mourinho can just take a breather, take stock. Once we're out the other side of that after this weekend, you know, then I think it's time to get down to business. The game's coming quick and fast. But yeah, that midweek result will definitely have helped.
And we saw Mourinho as well before the game going into it and the press conference, walking out. This De Bruyne issue has really seemed to touch a nerve on Monday during the press conference. Why is it really affected Jose in that sort of way? Because we normally see him just so calm and cool. And even in the toughest situations, he's joking around with the media. This really got to him.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? You know, the very first press conference back as Chelsea manager, the charm offensive, you know, what sort of eggs are you buying? Where are you doing your shopping? I'm buying, you know, young, beautiful eggs, you know, and all this stuff that was the typical Jose, you know, that we would hope to see, and we did, but that doesn't seem to have lasted that long. And clearly, you know, the British press aren't shy when they want to point things out, regardless of how much they admire and actually like the man. The Mata issue to start off with, then De Bruyne, and I think it's just rankled him a bit early on. Perhaps he's forgotten what it's like to be, you know, in the glare of the spotlight here in the Premier League. Of course, you know, it's pretty intense when you're at Real Madrid, and it's not going to be, you know, easy when you're at Inter Milan either. But, you know, this is the thing he's going to have to be able to sort of deal with, is that he has a squad with so many players, and a lot of whom are quite similar. And, you know, obviously the shortfall is really up front. You don't feel that Demba Ba or Torres, you know, are really at that top level right now. And, of course, they've let Lukaku go on loan to Everton. So he's going to have to field those questions a lot. But as we mentioned, you know, the result will have helped. And as long as he keeps delivering that, even if it's just 1-0 or 2-0, then, you know, those questions will start to fade.
And finally, for Chelsea, tough though, losing Fernando Torres, possibly about 6 weeks it's estimated that he'll be out for. Some have called that a slight bit of karma after the scratching incident, obviously, last weekend. But for Chelsea, do we see more of that kind of false number nine that we saw them trying to play against Manchester United? Or do we see Mourinho going with Eto'o or Barr or who?
It'd be very interesting because... they don't play with a number nine, Barcelona, apparently. And now could Chelsea be replicating that? I mean, you know, you never, ever have imagined that a few seasons back when, you know, people were accusing Chelsea of playing anti-football. Look how things have changed, and it hasn't taken that long, has it? I think that, you know, he will still want to play someone, and having spent the money on it, they will probably go with that. And it's time for Eto'o to show what he's worth now. I mean, you know, yes, he's a little bit older, probably that tiny bit slower, but I think, you know, Mourinho likes him and Eto'o likes Mourinho. So this could be in a way, you know, a chance for him to show all his qualities is undoubtedly, you know, in Samuel Eto'o. And I don't think they will ever truly, you know, like 4-6-0. I think, you know, that they will always have someone up front. Even if, you know, maybe Schürrle perhaps could feel that, I don't know. But, you know, I think that right now, Eto'o would be the natural go-to man.
Joe Hart with a stumbling, bumbling performance to an extent last night against Bayern Munich from Manchester City. A lot of criticism on Hart, and it's not his first mistake this season, a big mistake this season, of course. Fraser Forster, is he starting to push his way into the England frame at all, with Hart's iffy form continuing?
Well, this is a very interesting question, isn't it? Because Fraser Forster, oh, what a performance, you know, against Barcelona. Okay, Celtic, you know, did lose that game, and there were several contributing factors, Scott Brown being one of them. But I would say maybe it's one match too early. It would be a big, big call Roy Hodgson to chuck in Fraser Forster right now with these two absolutely crucial World Cup qualifiers coming up, where England need two wins to be absolutely sure of going to Brazil next year. If it had been maybe two matches earlier against Moldova, perhaps at home, where England are pretty much guaranteed victory, you would imagine, I would have thought, okay, bit of a gamble, but you can understand it. You know, there's kind of measured and limited risk, you know, in that. I think that he will go with heart. I think it'll be a vote of confidence to heart. Maybe it'll be the sort of thing that he needs to try and sort of buck his ideas up, because it's clear it's got a little bit under his skin and got on, you know, and into his psyche a bit. Remember, goalkeepers will spend, you know, sometimes, maybe not against Bayern, but, you know, if you're Manchester City in the Premier League and you're playing, I don't know, no disrespect to them, but maybe Stoke or maybe a team like that who they're expected to beat, then, you know, you're doing nothing for 20, 30 minutes and you'll have a lot of thinking time, and that will just increase the pressure that he'll be feeling. Whereas if it's just innate, it's just, you know, there and he's just not thinking about it too much, then I think we'll see the Joe Hart. He just needs a little bit of confidence, and if Roy Hodgson's the man to give it to him, then so be it. I can't see Fraser Forster coming in for these two, but, you know, believe me, he is one to watch, and he's a real unit. He makes himself so huge in that Celtic goal. Mm. You know, I think definitely he will be a real asset if England do progress to Brazil 2014 to give competition to Joe Hart.
It's not the right time for Joe Hart, though, to be lining up against a striker as in form as Robert Lewandowski at the moment. Mm. He looks confident for Dortmund. Obviously, he's got a lot more support in that side. But do you worry that Hart's mistakes, his lack of confidence going in this, could still cause a problem, though, for Roy?
A little bit. But, you know, it's not just his job, remember. You know, it's the back four in front of him that need to deal with Lewandowski more than anyone. And if they slip up, then he's there to bail them out. And yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, Lewandowski, even though, you know, we know now that he's going to be joining Mark for sure in the summer, that pre-contract agreement that we signed in the new year, you know, and he's scoring for fun right now, especially at home. Interesting, you know, when Dortmund are at home, he bags a couple. He's done that in the last three games. But you know, it doesn't matter where he is in the world, he will always put himself about, and he's got that real fantastic technique to go with it. So I do worry a little bit, but, you know, as long as there's, you know, solidity in front of him and there's a little bit of cover, you know, in midfield as well, then England do have enough, and Hart would just have to hope that, you know, he can get that clean sheet, that one clean sheet against Montenegro to start off with, and then Poland, you know, and then that should hopefully change his own feelings and his own mentality right now.
At least he won't have Gael Clichy's defending to worry about, that's for sure, for England.
Yeah,
going
he into... was he was at fault. You know, we can't put it all on Hart. You know, you have to kind of give credit where it's due, but also, you know, I'm sure that Gael Clichy himself will be the first to put his hand up and say, do you know what, actually, my bad on that one for that particular incident with Bayern.
And just finally, David, very quickly on David Moyes, Manchester United getting a win away, sorry, a draw even, getting ahead of myself there, against Shakhtar Donetsk on the road, a very difficult place for English sides to go. The draw may not look too flattering for Manchester United. It was still a little ropey, but very important for Moyes to have come out of there with at least a point.
Well, you know, if you just look at the record at how Shakhtar have done at home to English sides, there's only one team that have ever got anything for a trip to Donetsk, and that was Fulham. You know, Arsenal have been there twice, Chelsea have been there, and, you know, they've all been beaten. So, you know, it's a great point. It's just, you know, it's a difficult time for Moyes, and that is, you know, a point gained rather than two drop. Yes, they did take the lead, but, you know, right now he'll take what he can get. It's not been the best start, but that is difficult to do. And remember that Shakhtar aren't just a difficult place to go because it's in Ukraine and it's cold and, you know, it's an intimidating atmosphere. It's because they've got a talented side. You know, they might have lost a couple of, you know, Brazilians, you know, in Fernandinho, Willian, etc. But, you know, Fred, Bernard, they're not bad replacements. So, you know, I think, you know, that is, you know, a boost for Moyes. Sure, it's not all 3 points, but it will come. And now they've got a run of games, you know, against the likes of Sunderland and Fulham, games they're expected to win. And I firmly believe this is where his season gets back on track. As I say, after this weekend, international break, a time to take a breather. He will probably think, you know, that's the best time right now. You know, it's not going perfectly to plan by any means, but take a bit of stock and then go again, you know, other side of the international break.
What did you make of Sir Alex Ferguson's vote of confidence for him? Because does Moyes want Fergie to keep saying, Moyes is the man, Moyes is the man? Or does Moyes, would it be easier if Fergie just kind of stopped talking about and discussing the modern day Manchester United side under David Moyes?
Do you know what? If I was David Moyes, I'd say, okay, thank you, Sir Alex. That's great. I'll take things from here. It's obviously lovely to get that endorsement. And clearly the two have a mutual respect and you know, they're close. And Sir Alex now has a bit more free time perhaps than he had, you know, in the previous 26 years. But, you know, I think it does heap up the pressure. Of course it does. And you just keep comparing. And right now, what Moyes doesn't want people to do is do that comparison. It happened as soon as we knew he was appointed. It was kind of, you know, always going to be that way anyway. We'd heard the murmurings. And, you know, it doesn't take long for stats to come up comparing the two and what they've achieved. I think Moyes wants to create his own mood, his own stamp. And, you know, I think he just wants to get on with the job now, regardless of what anyone is saying. And, you know, people will, it won't be, it's not hard for people to kind of twist what he said. And, you know, he's talking over in America and giving these interviews and things. But look, you know, Moyes is, you know, he's big enough, he's old enough to handle this himself. And he will just kind of crack on with it. He's been in crisis situations before, as he's mentioned, with Everton previously, with personal end. And, you know, okay, the stakes are higher, but it's not like he, you know, hasn't dealt with it before. So I fully expect him to do so again.
The pressure is on for David Moyes, but that result in the Champions League last night will have helped. David, you're an absolute top man for coming and joining us here today on World Football Daily. We will let you get off to the Sky Sports News studios to get back to the day job, but we really appreciate you taking the time out to join us today, mate.
Absolutely, no problem, Molly. Thank you.
Cheers, David. Take care. Mr. David Garrido joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Champions League from an English perspective over the last couple of nights. Manchester United with that 1-1 draw against Shakhtar. A big draw indeed, as David was saying, when you consider how unsuccessful English sides have been there in the past. And a big point for United away on the road. Gives them 4 in the Champions League. Settles their ship slightly.